This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Couple of birthday shout outs on a big, what do we call this, Thursday here. Chad from the Westin celebrating his birthday today. Shout out to Chad, who does so many good things for Crown Center and the Westin and for all of us here and for all the parades and everything like that. A true superstar in Kansas City. And then the other true superstar in Kansas City, Kathy Nelson, head of the Sports Commission, having a birthday today. So happy birthday to Kathy Nelson. Hopefully you can get the World Cup to Kansas. Oh, wait, you already did that. You already got a draft to Kansas City. And the Super Bowl may be on the horizon. And once the new stadiums are built, and we'll figure out that as time goes along. But Kathy Nelson, who's done nothing but just grow Kansas City from the sports world, has been the most important thing to happen to sports in Kansas City in probably the last 25 or 30 years with the way that we've been on the landscape of national events and the World Cup and all this kind of stuff. She's just such a great human being as well. Not that Chad isn't. Chad's an unbelievable guy as well. But Kathy Nelson does so much for this town. So shout out to her. Happy birthday. Hope you enjoy your 25th birthday, Kathy. And for Chad, your 35th. Birthday, so enjoy those days and enjoy the birthday celebration and the cake.
Fellas, I'm gonna play some audio and then I'm gonna let you have the floor.
Now for the Knicks, don't get comfortable. It's a must win for Boston, but it's also a must win for Knicks. If you want to put serious pressure on the champs, game three is a must for the Knicks.
30-17 in the fourth quarter. So
let me take that for a second. He is 100% correct. I'm one of the few people in the world who have been in this situation twice.
I was just going to bring that up as a matter.
I said, I've been in this situation twice. We played the Lakers when we were the number one seed in the West. We lost the first two games at home.
In a five-game series.
In a five-game series. And I remember telling the guys, I said, guys, all we got to do is get the first one. Because then the pressure switches back to them.
But also, let us win one.
But you got to win the third one.
Yeah.
Because then the pressure switches. But also with Kenny, when we won the first two games in Houston, I remember telling the guys, we cannot go back to Houston 2-2. We cannot go back to Houston 2-2. I said, we got to win game three. And in both of those instances, so what Shaq said, game three is a must win. It's going to sound stupid. Game three is a must win for the Knicks. Because if they get back, because game four, because Boston's got a better team. They've been up 20, but I'm telling you, been in that situation twice. You got to win that third game. I still thought we were going to win the series when we were up, but when we lost game three, but it actually flips the mental picture.
I think it's a must-win game for both teams. And that sounds weird to say, but I do believe it is a must-win game for both teams because you're listening to guys that had experience with that. Being up 2-0, what do we talk about that with the hockey? Being up two goals in hockey is one of the biggest fallacies in sports. Being up 10 in the NFL, that's kind of a big fallacy as well.
Apparently being up 20, I guess.
Being up 20 twice. You know, deja vu, as the New York Post is calling it. That's an outlier. It really is. I mean, that's why I didn't think it was going to happen again. I don't think anybody thought what we witnessed on Monday and Wednesday would happen in back-to-back games. Insane, right? Totally insane. But I'm totally on board with both Shaq and with Charles on this, because being up 2-0 to me is the equivalent of being up 10 against Patrick Mahomes, or, you know, whatever the case may be. This thing is not over. And the minute you start to believe that you've already won the series because you took the first two in Boston, that's when the Celtics come in and they wreck you and they win the next four, and you lose that series 4-2. And then people are talking about you being a choke artist, right? So I do think the Knicks need to go out there on Saturday and start to put that foot on the throat of the Boston Celtics. So I do think it is a must-win game for the Knicks, because the last thing you want to do is give those defending champs a little bit of confidence. And if Boston gets a little bit of confidence and they start to come back, then you're going to hear from the Red Sox in 04. You're going to hear from all these teams that have come back, see, you can do it, and Boston Power or whatever they're saying up there and all that crap.
Boston Strong.
Yeah, so that to me is like, I just look at that and I go, you have an opportunity to eliminate your opponent, cut them off by the head. It's a must-win game for the Knicks, but it's also a must-win game for the Celtics, because if you go down 3-0, now you're really talking about rocky waters.
Matt, give us some numbers.
Teams all time after dropping the first two home games of a seven-game series. They win the series 4-24. They win the series if you win game three, this next game, 4-9. Win the series if you win game three and game four. You've got a winning record. You're 4-3. Win the series if you win game three and lose game four, you're 0-6. Win the series if you lose game three and win game four, you're 0-5. So the stats show that this is not a must-win at all for the Knicks. If they win one of these next two games, one of these next two games is a must-win. But if they go up 3-1.
The stats are interesting in this, but how many of those are defending champs with winning pedigree?
Probably never, because they probably don't go down 0-2.
Yeah, and so I guess I will. You got any more bitterness to get out?
Sorry, didn't mean to.
I love it. That's great.
At home. All right. Never mind. Keep going.
I don't even know where I was going with that, because it was so fun. No, it's good. It's human emotion. It's okay to have that. We all feel like that about our teams. We got to get it out, right?
Yeah.
I guess I will be late to the party, giving up on the Boston Celtics, and maybe it's my negativity of the NBA because I don't watch it. But I know they're the defending champs. They've got great players, and you never count out great players, because great players can do unbelievable things in moments you don't expect. Now, their first two games, they were miserable shooting the basketball, no matter where they were on the floor, right? That should be the concerning thing. That shows me, when you're that bad at shooting, that shows me that's fatigue. At least that's the way that I feel about it. Your legs are jello. The whole season's been going on. Maybe you're getting beat up by the Knicks. I don't know what the case may be. But when you go 25 of 100 from the three-point line, that tells me something is not right.
It's like 25%.
It is, roughly.
Good math.
You know, roughly 25%. But like jello legs or whatever it is. And you ain't getting your legs back if they're already jello legs right now in the playoffs, because you're continuing to play. You need that rest. You need that time off. And I also don't know, like, these guys personally, like, are they down 0-2 and they're like, F it, Galveston's coming up next week? Or are they willing to give it their all and fight back and battle back? Like, I don't know the human side of things in that from a Knicks standpoint either. But, like, I don't know how they are humanly. Like, because a lot of times we see athletes, they lose and they check out. We see it a lot, especially in the NBA. Mm. James Harden, prime example. So are they going James to be willing Harden. To fight back? Yes. Or is Boston saying, screw this, we're going to Galveston?
I'm not saying they're going to win this series or anything, but they are not going to give up. I know. I've seen this team. They came back down from 3-0, and they had a game seven. If Jason Tatum doesn't roll his ankle on the first game of the first play of the game in game seven, maybe they're the first ever to come back 3-0. That was just two short years ago against what I believe to be a better team in the 2023 Miami Heat than the 2025 New York Knicks. Let me ask you guys a question.
Nope.
First off, sorry, I'm going to.
What about Kristoff?
11 threes, 13 twos attempted by the Celtics, 5 of 24 in the fourth quarter, 14 straight misses. Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown combined 2 for 14. Yeah, Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum combined 2 for 14. Each went 1 for 7. Abysmal. You've mentioned the 3-point shooting.
Yeah, the 12 in a row that they missed in the fourth quarter over an 8-minute span is that tells me, though, again, this is my main being naive about basketball. I just look at that and I see the way that they're not making shots. It just screams fatigue to me. And that maybe I'm wrong, but how could you be that bad shooting? You can't be that bad shooting.
I mean,
you're an NBA player.
To me, it doesn't scream fatigue. It screams the yips.
Yeah, I think it screams mental.
I mean,
something in your
but
head.
But why would they have that when they are a team that just won the championship? And I'm not talking last. Like, last night it does set in. When it starts to get close and, oh, my God, we're doing this again.
We're doing it again.
But let's go back to Monday night. You are the defending champs. You're up 20. Why would all of a sudden you develop the yips in a game like that?
I mean, one, it's the situation. I mean, to give it, of course, a golf analogy, I mean, Rory McIlroy can go out in the Heritage Classic and shoot 12 under and win the tournament, and then all of a sudden he plays the Masters, and now he won this one. But in the past, it's been like, why all of a sudden does Rory look like he's the 109th best golfer in the world? Like, it's the same swing. It's the same bag. It's the same getup, but yet the result is completely different. And I think what happened is the first game and the second game totally defend that it's the yips for the Celtics. The first game, they were up 20 against a team that has yet to beat them this year, and maybe they took their foot off the gas a little bit. So what happens is there's that little bit of doubt. The Knicks came back, and they did it. Next thing you know, here we are, like you said, deja two, game two of the series. It's the exact same carbon copy that game one was. And all of a sudden, that memory starts to get a little bit bigger, gets a little bit thicker. Golf swing as well. It's the same swing every time you go out there. But for some reason, when you grab your pitching wedge now, you're like, last time I pulled this out from 100 yards, I shanked it off to the right. What do you think you're going to do 90% of the time when you do that with that mentality?
Yeah.
You're going to shank that club to the right
because
you're putting that thought process in there. So, yes, I mean, this is Boston. Okay, like they're not going to come into the game tomorrow and go fundamental and shoot glass shots and bank shots.
No, I mean,
they're
going to go.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't do that. What they should do is stick to what they do best. And if you die by it, then by God, you die doing what you know how to do. And then next year, you try to change it. But if you do go out there and you win by it, and you do start blasting away the Knicks by 15 and 20, where you average a game 16-point differential in the regular season, then go back to that. And then all of a sudden, we'll be here on Monday morning going, well, boys, here comes a really entertaining game four. So I think Boston's got to keep doing what they're doing. But the thing is, Mazzulla does have to get better because this press conference is a bad look.
Joe, what happened there in the last 5 minutes? It just seemed like you guys couldn't score, and they just made every play.
Yeah, they made every play. And like I said, even you know, throughout the end of that third, the fourth quarter, I thought we generated some good looks. And then I thought we had some live ball turnovers, and they took advantage of it. So they made the necessary plays to win. You know, we put ourselves in position to do that, and we just didn't make the plays.
You guys, two days off. How do you respond from this? This is just another blown 20-point lead, exactly your worst nightmare. How do you come back from this?
Yeah, I mean, you just take a look at it, figure out where you have to be better, and you know, put a full 48 minutes together. So have an understanding that it's going to be difficult, but, you know, that's why we do what we do, and figure out where we have to get better and do that.
Here you go, Mac. Here's your favorite part.
Joe, what was the thought process with not calling time out there of 12 seconds left?
Had one left, got a good look at, on the exact same play, 20 seconds earlier, tried to execute the exact same thing. They did a job of their lower pickup point, and we weren't able to get the advantage that we had on that on the last Tatum dunk. So good full court setting. They subbed out Towns, weren't able to sub out Brunson, had action there, and we just didn't execute.
So there's concerns there in the final minutes of the game with your head coach where he's kind of got to take over. You know, that's where you're, where some people consider coaches in the NBA like game managers, player managers. That's where you got to hone it in. All right, fellas.
Here's what we're
what
doing.
What do we like
here's
here?
The play.
You know?
Yep.
Because if you do have...
Yeah, they don't have Larry Bird walking through that door, okay?
No, they've got the sixth leading scorer in playoff history for the Celtics. That's Jason Tatum. He'll be fifth. He'll be actually fourth after this playoffs is over. So, yeah, they've got Larry Bird's son, Jason
Derek
Tatum.
White, more points last night than Jason Tatum. So, that can't happen.
So yeah, you got to call the timeout there. Like, you're not turning those in at the end of the year and getting a check. It's not. You're not getting a refund or,
They don't roll over?
They don't roll over to the next game. They don't roll over to the next season. Like, coaches...
Flyer miles?
Coaches who leave, even the half of football, use your timeouts. You got timeouts. Utilize them. And in the first half of an NFL game, use them all. And then you lose a game by seven and you got one timeout left at the end of regular. Like, what are we doing here, right? That's where it was last night. Okay. 12 seconds left.
No, I'm screaming timeout. Yeah. Screaming it.
Like, any moron, including
breaking
myself.
Yes, I'm breaking my hand.
Like, moron Bob over here is like, no timeout?
What are we doing?
What are we,
and you're running the exact same play.
Same play. That is what's asinine to me. I will defend him on the 3-point game plan, but that is just truthfully abysmal.
That's fireable. Embarrassing. When you do stuff like that.
Run
like
the same play, worked 20 seconds ago.
No, they're ready for it now. You know, this isn't like high school football where the coach stands and run it again and you run the same play 10 times till you get it
It'll
right.
Work, yeah.
This isn't the regular season either where you have an opportunity to bounce back. If you wanted to try something in the regular season knowing you're going to the playoffs, fine. You're the Celtics, you're the, you know, the Chiefs, you're teams like that nature. You can try things in the regular season to see what they're going to be. But you got 12 seconds left. You've got the ball. You're down one. You have an opportunity to take the last shot. And, you know, second night in a row, you don't even get a shot off. Like, that goes back to the coaching and the situation there. But the reason I'm, like, still very cautious in this series, the odds haven't changed. The Celtics are still a huge favorite to win this series. Our guy Jimmy over there at BetAG sent us the odds this morning. The Knicks are plus 535 to win the series. The Celtics are minus 750.
Are you sure?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Still to this day,
from what?
The odds have not moved.
Because on FanDuel, that is not the case.
I was going to say, on DraftKings, it's minus 110 both ways.
Yeah. Well, to win the series?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm looking at the email that we got this morning from the folks over at BetAG, and it says this. To my shock, despite losing both games at home to the Knicks, the Celtics are still favored in that series.
Wow.
The New York Knicks, it says plus 535, Boston minus 750. Series odds open, Celtics minus 750, Knicks plus 535. Yeah, current odds give the Celtics a 53.5% likelihood of winning the series. I'm just reading what he said. Now, maybe there'll be a retraction later on today about something like that. But those were the odds that we were sent this morning by the sports book that sends them all the time, betonline.ag. And so, to me, I was stunned to see something like that. ESPN just ran a poll. Who's going to win the series? People are very close to the Knicks. Like 53% are favoring the Knicks right now.
It's still right there
to win the series. Yeah. So it's still right there. So when you start talking about the odds, it's who's betting? Who's betting on this? And quite honestly, the Knicks are up 2-0. I would probably still put money on the Celtics to win the series because, again, we've seen this before. Being up 2-0 is a great fallacy, I think, anyway, in the NBA, in any sport, especially against a team that's loaded with defending champions.
And you mentioned it earlier when we discussed this. What is it, 81 minutes the Celtics have led in these two games?
Yeah, 81-04, 12-15 for the Knicks, yeah.
So you look at the context of these, oh, wow, the Knicks won 2 on the road. Wow, this series is over. Well, the Celtics led for over 80 minutes in that game. They had a 20-point lead both times with shooting like complete trash. And they still had an overtime loss and lost by one, never got a shot up. With how poorly the Celtics have played, I guess my question to you that I referenced earlier would be, am I wrong? Am I crazy? Am I Mac Celtics biased to think that this Boston team's still better and can win this series?
I mean, I agree with you.
I think they're still better.
No, I agree with you on that. And so do a lot of the bettors.
I watch these games, I'm like, this team's better.
What do we say yesterday? Boston can be down 3-0 and still win the series.
Right. And the best team doesn't always win, the games. You've got to figure out how to win. And the Knicks have done a better job of winning in this series.
I want to give them credit, too.
Than the Celtics have. Yeah, I mean, because they didn't take a lead until like a minute to go last night.
Amazing. No, they know who they are. They get in that 5-minute mark. They're around 8 to 12 points down. They feel 100% confident.
And they go out there and they D up, too. The Knicks play some serious defense. Again, for all those who say that the NBA doesn't play defense, just watch the Knicks in the fourth quarter.
Tell that to Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, exactly. Like you want to tell that guy to his face that they don't play defense in the NBA? Now, the Celtics on the other hand.
He's got an attitude.
I mean, that guy in the fourth quarter with 14 points and a big block again.
Yeah, 7 in a row they needed it.
According to DraftKings, Boston is minus 120 to win the series. The Knicks are plus 100.
Wow. Gosh.
So that's where they have it.
Still favored. To Bob's point, still favored.
Yeah. I mean, as Bob also said, they should be. They're the better team.
They're a better team.
That makes me feel less biased to know that you guys think that, too, because I'm watching these games. I'm like, this team is choking.
I think we have been, I don't want to use the term like hardened as sports fans, but when I was a kid, if you were up 2-0, we felt like, oh, that was over. It was a done deal. Mm. Now we know, because everybody's an amazing athlete. Back when I was growing up, you had plumbers and bouncers playing and things like that. Guys were, using that, and then they had their summer job and whatnot. They were building houses. Like, it wasn't real like it is today, where guys are fully dedicated to playing their sport in the off season and all that, where everybody's a legitimate player. You're not running out there with a bunch of tomato cans on your roster like you were in the 80s and 90s. Now everybody on every roster is a legitimate player no matter what the sport is. And so being up 2-0 is just like, yeah, whatever. Boston can get on a heater. They can win 4 in a row. They beat the Knicks 4 straight during the regular season. Like, they are a better team. They have better players. And I still think people believe that, all right, they may be down 2-0, but they're going to figure it out. It'll be just fine. It's like Patrick Mahomes being down 24. Yeah, they'll figure it out. It'll be fine.
I noticed something last night.
They've earned that benefit of the doubt, by the way.
I noticed something last night with, I guess it was with Reggie Miller. He called Jalen Brunson the closer for the Knicks, right? Because they were
he loves Jalen.
Because they were talking about how they were doing efficiently well without Brunson on the floor again. And Miller came in and was like, yeah, that's because they're going to let him rest. And then he comes in, he's your closer. Who's the Celtics' closer? Shouldn't it be Tatum?
It should be Tatum.
And we don't see that.
We have not seen that these two games.
Like, LeBron is a fantastic closer. Yep. Now, he's one of the best basketball players to ever play the game. But, like, you knew that, like, when the Lakers were up 6 with, like, a minute left, Brown was going to go high post or high key, get the ball, clear out, ISO, dunk, layup, or and foul. Like, Iverson was a great closer. Dwayne Wade, close. That's what I want to see from Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I'm ready.
And when you have a 20-point lead, maybe use the clock a little better. Maybe run the shot clock down to 2, maybe to 1. Maybe don't fire up a 3 with 8 seconds left.
Yeah, I agree. I also think we get into the tendency of playing too slow when we're up. That's what I think the Celtics tend to do. They start wasting time, acting like there's 5 minutes left when there's a whole quarter, and the Knicks are like, okay, yeah, waste these possessions. We'll inch back. I do think that the Celtics have a last shot, who is it going to be problem. But I think Tatum's proved in other series that he is a closer. He's had 50 points in a game 6 on the road against the Bucks in a game that they needed to win. He's had 40-point game 7s. Mm-hmm. He's done it. He has been abysmal. He has been an atrocity. He's been an embarrassment to the game of basketball. No Celtic has more than 2 field goals in 2 fourth quarters. Jason Tatum is 1 for 10 in the fourth quarter in the series.
That's Larry Bird's son.
I mean, so that's why I go back to fatigue, because they didn't forget how to play. They didn't forget how to be good basketball players. When you make these runs, ask the Royals in 14 and 15 how exhausted they were at the end. Ask the Chiefs how exhausted they were at the end of all of these Super Bowl runs. Like, people don't factor that in. When you make these long runs in the postseason, your offseason is severely shortened. James Harden is already on the beach in Galveston. Okay? If you go to the NBA Finals, you're playing into the almost July 4th holiday. Yeah. That's 2 months from now.
Mm.
That's still 2 months from now that you're playing. So whoever reaches the NBA Finals is going to play 2 months longer than the teams that were eliminated in the first round, and 2.5 months longer than the teams that didn't even make the postseason. Those guys are resting. And you do this year by year by year by year by year. It eventually catches up with you. And that's why it's so rare to see a repeat in baseball anymore, because you play 162 regular season games. Then you got...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence, it's a commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
30 postseason games, and you got 30 spring training games. Guys are exhausted from all of this, and they just go, "Uncle, I don't have it anymore. I'm tired." And there's nothing wrong with that. Every person gets tired. You just get to a point where you don't have it anymore. And so the Celtics have been doing this, doing this, doing this, doing this, doing this. The Knicks weren't. And playing in high leverage games as well. How many high leverage games have the Knicks really played in compared to the Celtics, right?
Oh, yeah.
And every game that you play in the regular season, if you're Boston, it's like the Chiefs. Everybody wants to beat your ass. So you got to play your best every night, even during the regular season, to keep up this pace. Fatigue is a real thing in the playoffs for teams that are perennial winners. It happens in all sports.
It's true. I mean, they went to the ECF in 21, finals in 22. They lost ECF again in 23, finals last year, and now here we are. So you're right. It's a lot of years of playing a lot more.
And it's not like they're cycling on, cycling off that roster. It's a lot of the same guys. Yeah. When was the last time the Knicks made it past the first round?
Yeah, I don't know.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.